had a PowerPoint message prepared this morning that I am not going to use, because as I was here, just in the church, praying and being still before the Lord, just I felt my thought being directed in another way. You know, we're entering, I'm asking you to enter with us, a 21-day devotion to prayer, a focus, a prayer focus is what they're calling it. We should always pray. But they're asking us to focus together to seek a change. At times we kind of live with things the way they are, don't we? And things can go along and we might be experiencing even the effects of something not being right. And we're not even fully aware of it. So as a time of prayer to begin, let me encourage you for this direction in your life. Join me in a time of let's draw near to the Lord like James says. Because he says if we draw near to the Lord, he will draw near to us. But it gives us some instructions. As we draw near, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Weep before the Lord. There's some things that we might need to realize or recognize that he's been very displeased with. Blessed are those who mourn for that kind of reason. If you're mourning over something that you have failed to see he was not pleased with, and you embrace his help to see it, recognize it, and deal with it, then you're blessed, because you'll experience the blessing of his correction. The Bible's honest that no discipline, no correction seems pleasant at the time, does it? We don't like to be told where we're getting it wrong or what's wrong, especially if we're comfortable. But later on, however, it has its benefit. And now we're fathers. James, the book of Hebrews says this. We're fathers and we know how to discipline our children, and we do it for their benefit. They benefit from being trained. Well, if we know how to discipline our children for their benefit, shouldn't we embrace the discipline of our Heavenly Father, who disciplines us that we can share in his holiness? I want you to think with me. God is holy. He's set apart. And what is he set apart from? He's set apart from corruption. He's set apart from imperfection. He's set apart from anything wrong. He's set apart from anything that is evil. He's pure. He is good. And he is righteous. So if someone is good and pure and righteous as God our Father is, and he calls an action sin, why is he calling it sin if he is good? Because the word sin means to miss the mark. So if you're good and you are perfect, what will your mark be? Good, right? Your mark will be good. When God sets a mark, it's because he sees what is best. This is what is good. And then wouldn't it be right? Don't we understand that when he sees something is missed his best, he calls it sin? That makes sense. If we trust that our Father is good, that every good and perfect gift comes from him, the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadow, then we can trust that his word is good, his ways are good, and that the more we understand him, the more we can experience life the way he intended for us to experience it. Now, we're in a corrupt world, and we have been infected by the corruption. That's why the Bible says our mind needs to be renewed. We should not trust the way we think on our own. All of us have come to see things and accept things that are not good for us. Although they feel natural to us. Can you trust your feelings when it comes to your health? How many of you deal with some type of blood pressure issues? Quite a few. Do you always feel it? No. There are times when it gets extreme, you can feel it. But all of us here know that in order to ensure that there's nothing wrong with you, most of us have come to the place where we do not trust our own assessment of ourselves, do we? Most of us, I don't follow my example in this, but most of us allow a physician, a doctor who has been trained, who has studied the human body, and who has studied medicine, and who understands what good health is supposed to, understands the ranges that they call normal, who understands what the standard is. And we, most of us, actually make an appointment with a doctor, a physician, to allow them to examine us. Now, sometimes when we make the appointment, most of the time when we're making the appointment, there's a reason. It's because we sense something might be wrong. We feel something. Something doesn't feel right. Something has begun to happen that we have not experienced before, and we're not sure what it is. So we actually call the doctor. We take the initiative, and we come to the office, and we ask the doctor. We even pay them. We pay them to examine us. Will you look at this and tell me if there's something wrong? How many of us let God do that? He is the perfect physician who knows how you are, who knows your spiritual life, who knows everything about you, who can see what you can't see. You know, when we come to God in this way and open ourselves to Him, we will see something. You know, Jesus made a statement about the judgment that is in the world. This is in John chapter 3, the same chapter as John 3:16, which so many people already know. But in the latter part of the chapter, you remember this statement that Jesus said, this is the verdict. There's going to be a verdict at the end when the world is judged. The basic verdict is going to be that light has come into the world, but men love darkness more than light, for their deeds were evil. Let me give you an illustration. Sometimes you can understand what he means by men love darkness more than light. You know, there are different kinds of light. Most of us are comfortable in low light situations. I just like a lamp to be on in the room. I don't like the overhead light. But you know, sometimes I've gotten dressed and my shirt looks just fine in the lamp by the bed. And then I go into the bathroom where there's these three big old lights there, and I see, oh my goodness, there's stains all over this thing. And I change my shirt. Well, you know, it takes a certain amount of light to see things. That's why you go into the examination rooms and it makes you feel uncomfortable. Why? It's not the amount of light you normally live in. It's enough light for them to be able to see everything. And you know what's, if it's really an important examination, you know what they actually ask you to do? They ask you to take off what you're covering yourself with. They want to see underneath your covering. We like to be covered. We don't necessarily like to expose ourselves. But in order for the examiner to see clearly, They have sometimes ask us, will you uncover yourself and place this? They usually get a garment that's easy for them to move so that they can see clearly. How many of you love going to the dentist? How many? I don't know. I haven't been in so long. But you know what? You notice you go in there in this room, and one of the first things they do is they're getting you all ready and making you comfortable. And the dentist comes over to the chair, and his assistant is usually there. He usually reaches up to his hand, and there's this big round thing. And he swings it right over the chair, and this round thing is just filled with all these bulbs. And they turn it on, and the sun is just right there in your whole face. And then, because you open your mouth, and he's wanting to see things. He's wanting to see every little crack and crevice. He's wanting to see if there's a tiny little hole that you can't see when you're brushing your teeth or you're looking at your mouth in the mirror. Listen, if we begin a time of earnest prayer, we need to come. We need to make the initiative. We need to draw near to God. We need to ask Him, Lord, examine me. Would you look at me? The David, a man after God's own heart, this is what he prayed. This was a part of his prayer. Lord, who can discern his hidden faults? And he wasn't talking about them being hidden from God, was he? Do you believe that you and I have faults that are hidden to us? You live with. They're not good. They're habits. They're things in our life that could be taken care of, but you don't see them. David was aware of it. And he asked the Lord for who could discern the error of his ways. Forgive my hidden faults. Forgive them. He assumed that they were there. And he added with that, and keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. I want to encourage you as we begin a season of prayer. A way to begin it is inviting God to search you. Search me, like David prayed. Search me, O God, and try my thoughts. Examine me, know me, and see if there is any iniquity in me. I'm not seeing it. I don't know that it's there, but I no longer trust myself. Now, how many here, probably a lot of you, schedule an annual checkup? And you'll go see the doctor even when you're not even aware that there's anything wrong. You just want to be sure something has not happened in the last year. And you want him to look at you with his instruments, with his knowledge, and his skill, so that he can make you aware of things that, while you have time to address them, before something happens that could have been taken care of because you were just living with it. This is what I want to encourage us to seek the Lord for. To invite Him with this in mind. God is so good. He will only point out the things that are not what He considers good. And He's not doing it because He's angry. He does it because He does not want us to be limited or to suffer the consequences of living with something that He could actually correct, if will allow. Now, we've laughed and talked about these lights. Light is wonderful because it takes light for the doctor to be able to see everything clearly, doesn't it? But you know what takes more than just light? When you go to either the examination room at a doctor, or when you go to the dentist and you sit back in the chair, you're asked to do something. What do you have to do so that the doctor or the dentist can do their job. What do you have to do? You have to do something in order for them to be able to see. What do you have to do?
Be still.
Be still. Yeah, you have to follow their instruction, don't you? You have to lay there and submit yourself to the examination. It may require you laying back. It may require opening your mouth as wide as you can. It may require you taking off your shirt. It may require you to spend a prolonged amount of time being very still. Recently, because I was asked to by my family, and it was recommended to me after my recovery from COVID-19 to get an examination, I scheduled an appointment with a cardiologist so that he could examine my heart. Well, I went to his office and he listened to it, and his nurse put some little, they stuck these things on you, you know, these little things that pull if you have hair there, and these little tabs, and they took a little reading, and I thought, well, it's good. But he wasn't satisfied. That was just initial. That was just an initial reading. They took a quick read. They knew that I wasn't going to die right there in the office. So they had the basic. And then he scheduled some extensive examination. Something that was even beyond his own ability to see with his eyes or hear with his ears. They went. They sent me to the first thing. They scheduled the appointment. And I went to it, and they gave me what they called this echocardiogram. You had one?
Yeah.
Where they rub this solution on you, and they can actually using echocardiogram, they can actually see your heart functioning. They can look at the valves. They can see if the blood is flowing in and out. They can see if things are functioning properly. The doctor couldn't see it with their eyes. And you know, all I was asked to do is lay there. Very still. He allowed me to talk to him because I was kind of looking from the side. Is that the top part of my heart? Yeah, that's the top part of my heart. We're looking right now to see how your valves are doing.
They put a screen on
it. Yeah, there's a screen right there. You can see it. And here I'm submitting myself to it. I'm even paying for it because I'm paying out of my own pocket for this because out of love for my family. And out of just consideration and being wise, I felt this was necessary to do. And they gave my heart a thorough examination. But they weren't satisfied. They scheduled another thing after the echocardiogram. They sent me in this machine where you have to lay very still on your back. And then it either takes you into it or it comes over you. And it sits there and it goes around. Have you ever been in one of those? And it just goes around in motion and it takes pictures of your heart from every angle. And it takes time. And what you have to do is you have to lay there and be still. So it can get a good, clear picture. And it lasted for me, it lasted about 15 minutes. I guess that's normal. I thought it was the first one I ever had. But what showed me something is when we're concerned that not everything as it is should be, we allow ourselves to be examined. And this is what is wise to do when we begin a season of prayer. Because remember what David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not
hear me.
So he says, search me, O God. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. Show me now so that I can deal with it. We know that we have to deal with the corrupt environment we live in. We should not be surprised that we can be influenced by our culture. You've heard, this is not new to you because many of you have been in the church a long time. You're familiar with the story about the frog and the pan of water. You know, this is something I've heard. I've never tried the experiment. Let me not encourage you to try the experiment at home. But just take my word for it that if you You take a pan of water, you can put it on the stove. If it's just regular temperature, you can put a frog in it and he will swim around in the pan of water, comfortable. And you can turn on the burner and slightly heat the water little by little, and the frog will literally adjust himself to death. Just adjust as the environment around them changes. I'm afraid with the toxic corruption of our culture, we have an ability to adjust ourselves to death, to expose ourselves to things that are not good for us spiritually or mentally. But we just become accustomed to it, and we make adjustments to it. And this is why I want to encourage us. One of the ways to see if this has happened is to draw near to God. Invite Him to examine us. Invite Him to examine you. And don't assume it's just going to be one simple 5-minute prayer or 10-minute prayer. Just like when I made an appointment with the cardiologist, it involved a visit to his office. It involved a follow-up to the hospital. It involved submitting myself to what he was asking me to do. And then it involved me going back to his office and discussing with him the results of what he had examined and what he had studied, and listening, and then taking the recommendations from him on what I need to do and what I needed to guard myself against. This is what I want to encourage us to do as we enter into a time of prayer. Let me encourage you to do it. To make the time and take the time. Do you remember the old song? Take time to be holy. You know, take the time to be holy. Devote yourself to it. Today is just the first day of this season. It's a 21-day prayer focus. And it will end with the annual Southern Baptist Association meeting here in San Antonio. And I think it's October the 18th. So if you will join us as a church, they're asking us to search our hearts, because often we don't see things. Let me give you an example of how even good intentions and the best intentions don't always see things. You know, in this, in our country, we're having a time of election. You know, you hear much about the state of the United States and what kind of country we're going to have and what it's going to take to make America great again. And there's one group that thinks things are horrible, and another group that thinks that things are good. And you know, what's the real perspective? Are we a terrible people, or are we a great nation? You know, that depending on who you listen to. I want you to go back with me if we reflect back. We do know this. During the days when the colonies that had been colonized mainly by Anglo-Europeans, right? As they began to move, we already know that there were Native Americans here. But when, I'm talking about the time when Anglo-Europeans had come over and basically settled there, most of them were still living on the eastern half of the United States. But they got together and realized that they needed to form a union. They were kind of independent colonies, and they wanted to come together. And so the colonies chose representatives, and they came together. And these group of men, Anglo-Europeans, sought to form a code. They wanted to create a law, a set of laws that would allow liberty to flourish, to laws that would guarantee certain safeties. And they even had some basic understanding that all men were endowed with their Creator with certain inalienable rights as they saw it. But I want you to think of how limited they saw at the time. All men were endowed, Did they see all men as men? Their heart was good. But did they see the Africans as men? Did they have the same inalienable rights as they were seeing for themselves? At the time, they didn't even believe women should have the right to vote. They didn't believe that that was proper. So you can see that even though they came and they sought to do what was good, they didn't see everything perfectly, did they? And it's the same with us. I'm your pastor. I have a desire to hear from the Lord. I have a desire to lead us in the way that's right. But do you realize unless I'm shown by the Lord, I'm just chasing my tail around the tree? And unless we're all seeking the Lord together and asking for His help, we're not going to be able to see what He wants us to focus on at this time, especially when out there in society, there's all kind of voices that saying, this is the most important crisis. It is climate change. You know, that's the most important crisis of our day. Then the others will say, no, it is the racial injustice. It is the policing reform that's the most important. Well, they're all important, right? They're all important. How do we know how to deal with them in the best way? We need, as a people, to be those asking God for wisdom. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give those in leadership wisdom. Give wisdom to those who are trying to initiate reform. Give wisdom to those that are trying to deal with areas in our country, because there are areas in our country where there is ugly racism. Ugly. Now, that's not in all police forces. I'm not talking about police forces. I'm talking about places in the country where men are evil. The way they think is evil. And if you don't have the color of their skin, they don't give you the time of day. They don't want you around. They are proud, and they think it's their country, and not yours. They forgot this wasn't even their country to begin with. There were Native Americans living here that we kind of moved into the neighborhood and took over. Right? We need the help of God to be able to see and guidance. Here's another example of what I mean by that. You know, I pointed out that even those that were writing the Constitution, and you're well aware of this, if you know your history, several of those men that were signing the Declaration of Independence and signing off on the Constitution, several of those men were slave owners themselves. Don't be too hard on them. Wait a minute. Don't be too hard on them. You know, the Holy Spirit could have told the Apostle Paul when he was writing to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians and the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians. The Holy Spirit could have told the Apostle Paul, you tell everyone who owns a slave to set them free. And he did not do it. He literally wrote, slaves, obey your earthly masters in the Lord.
That's what it says.
You realize that there's a time for everything? I am glad that slavery is being outlawed and abolished. But God didn't choose to do that during the time of Paul's ministry. Their main purpose was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the freedom that God gives men from sin. And this is why we need, yes, there's many, many needs in our society that need to be addressed. But what we need as Christians, we need guidance on, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Amen.
Okay, it's time to not see whether the Democrats are wrong or the Republicans are wrong. It's really, why don't we begin with, are we wrong?
Amen.
What's wrong with us, Lord? What are we lacking? Show us what you want us to deal with now. And God is good. God will overwhelm us in that. God will just get us started with what we need to start with first. And you know, oftentimes, it won't even be the biggest issue. He'll start with some minor little thing. And if you do well with that, then he'll go to the next one. Because he's wise. He's not going to force himself upon us.
Amen.
If we invite his help, if we welcome it, and if we will receive it, he will come to us. And he will guide us into everything he sees as good. And you know, there are things that we do. There are things that we defend because we see them a certain way. Because we're living in our low light situation. Right? So we ask the Lord, give us light. And we come to the light. We draw near to God. And we ask him, Lord, examine us. Search me. And give him time. Let's spend, why don't we do this? Let's spend this week with this focus. And let's come back next week. And I'd like to hear from you. You know, you realize for us to be able to confess our sins, the word confess means to say the same. That's literally what the word confession means. To say the same. To say the same as who?
God.
Yeah. You see, when we're asking the Lord to show us where we're missing it, he speaks to us. And when he tells us how we're missing it, confession is then we say the same thing he told us. I was wrong here. He showed us we were wrong, and we say, Lord, I was wrong. We may even say it to each other. Isn't that what the scripture says? Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So let me invite us to do that. Because God is good. And if we trust, that all he wants to show us are the things that he sees is less than his very best, you can open your hearts, can't you? You can draw near the throne of grace to receive mercy. You know that what you're going to receive when you're asking him to show you what he sees wrong, you know what you're going to receive? Mercy. Because if God is finished dealing with you, what does God do to a people who are so stubborn that they will not receive him or let him help? What does he do? He gives them over to a depraved mind. But to those he loves, what does he do? He disciplines them. He corrects them. He speaks to them. What a good opportunity we have before us. To recognize him is our good and perfect Father. And humble ourselves. And draw near him and say, Lord, search me. Try me. Examine me. I don't trust that I'm seeing everything that I need to see. I don't know that I'm experiencing the fullness of life. I think there is more joy and peace and rest and goodness in your Son and in your Holy Spirit than I'm currently experiencing. And I want you to show me the things that are hindering me that I've grown accustomed to, that I've grown comfortable with. All right, can we do that together? Let's do that. I want us to sing a song, and this song is kind of a prayer. Just it's a song of response. It's a Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. You know, when Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Meaning, sin is missing the mark. We need the Holy Spirit's help to show us where we're missing the mark. And if we know that God, who makes the mark, makes it out of perfect goodness, the mark is perfect goodness. Don't we want to be shown where we're missing perfect goodness? Certainly we do. And it's such a confidence, and we're glad that the Holy Spirit comes to show us. So this song is basically a prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. You're inviting God's search instrument. The Spirit of God will search us and guide us and help us through this coming week to see what the Lord wants to show us. All right? Let's sing with you.
Amen.
You can stay seated.